And some of you know me as a sound healer. And I had called Connie after an experience. I was working at a store, and a lady had asked me to come to her store and do a couple of hours of putting anything I wanted to do. And I, you know, after the concerts are over, I usually ask people if they'd like to experience the feet in the bowl, and they sit there, and I play the bowl, like an 18-inch crystal bowl. And so I was there for 2 hours, and there was a young girl towards the end of maybe about 15 people or so, and she was about 19. And she puts her feet in the bowl, and she walks around, and she says, I had told her earlier, if you'd like to experience or let go, release, just do it. Let the crystal vortex, the bowl knows what you need. So she starts walking, and all of a sudden she says, my pain is gone in my body. And then she's talking to her boyfriend, and she says, I can hear. And I heard that, but it was like from, she was seated like from here to the chair over there. So I said, what? I said, well, why don't you go outside and listen and see if you hear, you know, if it's intense for you. And she came back, and she started crying, and all the other women that were around her started crying also in joy. This has been about maybe, it's going on about 3 weeks now. Her boyfriend emailed me and told me that night that she can still hear. She had lost her hearing at age 9. And it was amazing to see this. My mouth was hanging open. I was in disbelief. So I had to, I said, please keep in contact with me. And it was just amazing. And I was preaching about the bowl. The bowl knows what you need. And she released it. Whatever it was for her, here it's about, she was holding on to it maybe about 10 years. So it was amazing. And that is my spiritual moment. It continues, and I learn every day. It's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. And now we have a poem from our very own Miss Jennifer Madriaga.
Since finally letting go and reaching the bottom of the abyss, I found that I was not alone. A group of us had fallen there, but we found a river and an accompanying oasis. From cast-offs of our old lives, we created shelter and tended to each other's wounds. Even though full sunlight could not reach there, we saw the shadows it created. At times, we all lamented what we had lost, some more than others. Even then, we knew our luck in finding each other. And it was in this period that I found that tender shoots could grow in the shade, green things worth loving and knowing. The roots grew deeper, and while this life was not the one we had planned, it was good. I could rest my head on someone's shoulder. I could find a hand to hold. We could find laughter in the pathos of old stories. A village flourished, but some built boats and drifted away, never to be seen again. One day we all decided that it was time to venture toward the sun. We traveled together with loaves of bread and jugs of water. The world above had changed, but we were the cause of its transformation.
Now we have a solo, The Prayer, from Miss Bonnie Kirk.
Garden, I've named my garden Abundance, so I thought I needed to have a little abundance on my mind today. So here she sits. if you're finding it a distraction, of course, getting my thing over my head, maybe. You can wear it.
Yeah, wear it, Fred. I like it.
Oh, wow. Do you mind standing up so we can all see?
Sharing her abundance.
Wear it proudly.
That's the one getting away.
No, you're all right. I pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times we do not know. Let this be when we lose our way, lead us to our place, guide us with your grace, to our place where we'll be safe. I pray you'll find the light and hold it in our hearts. When stars go out at night, remind us where you are. Let this be shadows fill our day. Lead us to a place. Guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be safe. A world where pain and sorrow will be and every heart that's broken will be mended, and we'll remember we are all God's children, reaching out to touch you, reaching for the sky. We ask that life be kind and watch us from above. We hope each soul will find another soul to love. Let this be just like every child needs to find a place, guide us with your grace, give us faith so we'll be safe. Needs to find a place, guide us with your grace, give us faith so we'll be
beautiful, Bonnie. And now it's time for our speaker, Reverend Connie Beth Grady.
Happy anniversary, everybody. Anyway, I really don't know what I'm going to say today, but I'm going to start out because we always tell the story. But I have to tell you an experience I had just a while ago. On the opening of our song, Here I Am, Lord, don't want to get too teary-eyed, but all of a sudden I saw Spirit walking in, down the aisle to that song. And Pat, I don't know, you know, you smiled at me. Mike and Linda Logan came and sat with you. And Dolores is here. I saw Virginia and all the ones that have loved this church that have gone on. Your guides and everyone here have come to be a part of this celebration. So it kind of made me a little teary-eyed. Now let's get on to happier things. But not that that's not happy, but we got to get up and celebrate. Stan and I moved here 17 years ago, and we looked around for metaphysical churches. I'm not going to knock any of them. They're fine. But we were homesick for a good old-timey metaphysical spiritualist church like we had left in Indiana. So after a few years, Doris and a few other people had moved down here, and we decided, why not open a church? So we looked, and we dreamed, and we looked, and we dreamed. And one day, and we were really looking across the road at that little Methodist church, thought, wouldn't that be wonderful if that came up for sale? We even went to church there one Easter to look around. Somehow, it just didn't feel right. Not once did we look on this side of the road. And then one day, there was a for sale sign here. And so I called to see how much it was, and it was $280,000. And I said, boy, there's no way we can afford that. So a few times it sold, and then it was for sale again. And so I kept calling, and one day I called, and I said, can we come and see this church? And we did. And it just had a familiarity to it. And I said, do you suppose they would take $80,000 less? Absolutely not. So we left, and we all agreed that it had such a wonderful feeling in here. It's like we had been here before. It didn't look like this. But we left, and it went on for almost another year. And I would call from time to time because it would sell, and that it would not be sold. Because to buy this property, if it were anything but a church, you have to tear up the pavement, the parking lot, have the parking lot in back, and that all grass. And it's really a big expense, and people just, when they got into it, didn't want to do that. So every time I'd call, how about $80,000 left? Do you think they would take that? Finally, she said, I don't know. Let's go look at it. Come and look. We'll write it up, and we'll see what they say. So I'd ask my husband, Stanley, if he would like to come with us. And he goes, no. He goes, because I know someone will say, oh, I've got goosebumps. And you all will say, that's our sign. Let's sign the bottom line. And so I said, fine, we'll go without you then. And before I know, he's scrapping right along. He's coming too. So we get here, and some of you remember Linda Logan, dear friend of ours. She helped us with the opening of this church. And sure enough, she comes up here, and she goes, oh, I've got goosebumps. I've got the shivers. And we go, shh. And the next thing we know, Stan's looking at the gutters. He's looking at the furnace. He's looking at the air conditioning. He's downstairs looking at everything. And he comes back up, and he says, you know, this church is in pretty good shape. You know, the bones are good. And we're amazed. And we had to make a decision. We were asked of what we were going to do. And so we thought about it for a little bit. Doris and I had thought about it, and Doris was not in at all. I got to go back. This was the weekend before, when we were before we were going to come and look at it. We knew the price, and we knew what we were going to offer. And Doris goes, "Oh, I don't think we can do that." And then all of a sudden, she had a change of heart. And we were at a little workshop, and we were staying overnight, and she was in her bed, and she had a little pink pajamas on, and she was sitting there like a teenager with her legs crossed and on her belly and had all kinds of figures on the paper. And everybody said, "Come and see Doris. She wants to see you right now." And she said, "Connie, I think we can do this. Look at this. If we do this and this and this, I think we can do this." It scared me to death. I said, "Doris, you're acting more like me than I am." So anyway, we made the offer. And we went to the bank. We went to BB&T. We drove there, and we told them we wanted to rent, or we wanted the money for a church. And they asked us about a congregation. Well, we don't have any yet. And we found ourselves back in the car faster than what we walked in. They basically kicked us out. And I said, "Girls, we're going to have to go home and put a suit on and look businesslike." And this little man came running out of the bank. He said, "I heard what went on in there." He said, "If you go to Roxborough Savings Bank, they loan money to churches. Why don't you go there?" So I still thought maybe we need to go get our business suits on. And I said, "No, we're going to stop and we're going to say, we're just checking on interest rates. What are your interest rates?" So they started selling us on a loan instead of us selling them why we needed it. We walked out of there, and in 15 days, we had possession of this church. Now, what I didn't tell you, well, that's unheard of. What I didn't tell you, though, it had to go through a board of 19 men who were Jehovah Witness, and then 6 men that were Jehovah Witness. And some of our friends, we had been going to Unity Church, some of our friends had a prayer vigil led by Sylvia Grasso, praying that we would get this mortgage. And so what we had decided, we wanted a church so bad. We didn't care where it was. So we had already announced that we were having a church. We had asked guest workers to come down. We had looked at motels to rent rooms, and that's what we were ready to do when all of this came about. So on Monday, all of this was brown. All the woodwork was rough sawn cedar black. We tore this church apart on Monday when we got it in the afternoon and barely got it presentable by the opening of the weekend. But the strange thing about all of that, when the Board of Jehovah Witness said that they would take it, the realtor who also went to this church called, and she said, "You know, I think they're going to accept it because I was driving home and I saw a shooting star right over that church." And she said, "I think they're going to accept it." Well, let me tell you, it's been an experience. It's changed a lot. A lot of people have gone to Spirit. We've had, I think we counted 48 people who had come to this church. Most of them joined and had to move away for some reason or other. So we've made lots of friends who had to move on. And Spirit told us when we opened this church that people would come and they would go and they would come and they would go. And all the time, the vibration of the church would be changing and the people you're attracting would be changing. And all of a sudden, you would have people come and stay. We're at that point now where people have come and they have stayed. When you first open a church, you don't have a lot of workers. We had lots of workers. Most metaphysical churches have lots of workers. our classes have grown to the point now where you see all these wonderful workers we have up here every Sunday. And that's why I wanted them up here, because they need praise. And all of you need praise for the dedication of what you contribute to the vibration and the light of this church. One night before we moved here in Indiana, I woke up and I had a vision. And the vision was a New Age metaphysical church. And as I looked around in the congregation of that church, I realized there were all nationalities and there were all faiths in that church. Because mankind had grown to the point of realizing it doesn't matter what you believe in, because we're all one anyway. We're all involved in the oneness of God's love. We're all children of God's love, in represented in different looks, in different personalities. And that's what makes life so wonderful, is because we're like a bouquet in God's garden. Well, I would like to tell you, the vibration, because of everyone here, has grown to the point of understanding that I think everybody understands that we're all children. We all belong to the oneness of that God energy. And we all have the respect to realize if someone believes a little different, that's their right. That's their universe. And to respect one another and to love one another is the most beautiful thing that can ever happen on this earth plane. People watch the news. I do too. And not all the time, but I like to keep up. And people get so discouraged because it appears there's so much hate in the world. And yes, there are some instances of that. But if you go shopping, or if you go out where people are in the malls, and you talk to anybody of any nationality, of any religious background, I will tell you, their belief system is changing. The general public, they're understanding. They have more compassion. They have more love. And it's almost as though this silent wave, this silent movement, is moving across the earth plane, where people are awakening to who we really are. And who we really are lights of inspiration. We're lights that are guiding people who are asking for help in a direction that they never knew of before. But the problem is, those people who are not ready yet, they can't vibrate with it. So we have a lot of chaos in the times that it's going on. But that's okay, because there's light workers in every country. There's light workers all over this world that have the same understanding that we have. And I know that Spirit worked with us beginning in 1970, telling us about these days, telling us about these times, telling us that it's our mandate daily to send love and to send that energy of healing to everyone, to everything, plant, animal, everything. But what they didn't really explain is when you start living in that vibration, it changes your life. And those things that seem to have been so important are no longer important. those people who used to be so difficult stop affecting you so much in that way. Because as you grow and you send love, you also grow in understanding that there's nothing you can do about someone else. You're only responsible for yourself. But in doing so, there have been many wonderful instances where those people who seemed to be troubled, when there was no resistance there, before you know it, they're walking in your house, your business, somewhere, with a smile many times. Because what we don't realize is there's a silent language going on. And when we put up a door of resistance because we might be afraid of someone, theirs automatically goes up and there's that conflict. But when we can remove that door within ourselves by sending love and light, it's amazing how that resistance from someone else seems to dissipate. So, today I'm so grateful. Today I'm so thankful that we have this wonderful family. I'm so grateful that all of the people and all of you out there and all of you up here have grown to the point where you truly love each other and you love this congregation and this church. So I thank you very much. And I want to thank our dear little lady. They call her the Queen Mother today. Miss Doris, would you stand up, our healing minister? And we're so glad she changed her mind at the last, because that gave us the courage to go on. I think she wondered since then. Pardon? So, anyway, we're all taken care of. And so God bless you all.